Hold up. Stop the music. Stop. All right. If we're going to do this right, we need the proper theme song. So let's hear from Mr. Shatner himself.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
That's right, Glenn the Toolbox Show, coming to you from the Star Trek Convention 2013 here in Seattle. We got some great audio to deliver to you because I've gotten you some great interviews. This is a special edition podcast where this will be the only time you'll hear me interviewing anybody else that's not my family or anything else. Maybe this lead to bigger and better, but who knows? I want you to be the first to listen to these interviews. I got Denise Crosby, Tasha Yar, I got Armin Shimerman, Quark, I got Aaron Eisenberg, and I got Matt Scruton, and they are great audio. I will play the interviews entirely, but we got a great show for you today. We got one of the best shows I think I could ever deliver to you. Well, let's start off at the top of the list. The top. We had a here in Seattle, August 26th. That's today. Actually, it's going to be tomorrow because I'm recording it the day before. So you get to hear it tomorrow or today, whatever you want to put. The whole space-time continuum really messes people up. But, ask the doctor. He knows. So anyway, we had a Star Trek convention here at SeaTac Airport at the lovely Hilton. Of course it's the Hilton because that's the only place that will hold places anymore. So I got the opportunity to be a part of the media. Now, I want to be this absolutely clear. Absolutely clear. This is not for the guy I used to work for and the radio. This is not for air. This is only for you, the podcast listeners. They can't use it without my permission whatsoever. This is copyrighted by Toolbox Communications, your media solution. So with that being said, you can only get this audio here and here alone. So I had the opportunity to talk with the four cast members. There are great people all around, very smart people, and you get to hear their interviews entirely without edit. They're about 5 minutes long. It's not really that bad. But the first one will be from Denise Crosby. She played Tasha Yar and Sela from the Next Generation series. Very nice lady, very approachable. She'll talk your ear off if you let her. So let's hear our interview with Denise Crosby.
All right, hon.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
You got it.
I'm here with Denise Crosby from the Star Trek realms of Star Trek The Next Generation, Tasha Yar, and Sela, who was the Romulan. How would you put her character in the Star Trek realm? What was she? Like Commander? Chief?
She was Commander Sela. She was Tasha Yar's daughter.
Uh-huh.
And now is the Empress.
Tell us more about that.
Well, I've been involved with Cryptic Studios doing some Star Trek Online gaming, and Sela is alive in the game of Legacy of Romulus, and at this point in time, Romulus has exploded and is no longer, and the Romulan people are scattered, but Sela's goal is to bring the people back together, and she needs help from other races.
Now, what was your favorite character to play in this? Have you played other characters in the Star Trek realm, or just Sela and Tasha?
I've only played Sela and Tasha, and you know, I can't say which is my favorite, because they both, I enjoyed both of them so much.
Yeah, we got some gnats flying around. They're like fruit flies.
I know, right?
Yeah. You know, I came by yesterday, and I actually got you to ask a question while you were on stage about what was the weirdest email or fan letter you ever gotten, and you said this one. Can you tell my fans more about that?
Oh, it was just a gentleman that was well known for writing these, five-page, single-spaced, front and back, one long sentence letters to various actresses that were working on television at the time. This was right when Star Trek was on. It was so 1987. So he would just write this long kind of love letter, you know, in admiration, but using very strange descriptive terms of our bodily parts.
Oh, my. So I understand you're related to Bing Crosby, your granddaughter, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you remember any of his work? What was your favorite amount of work of his genre?
Well, I mean, all of his body of work is pretty impressive. I mean, he sort of is responsible for a style in music that was introduced, a kind of crooning of jazz, and he's very
sort of Sinatra-ish.
Before Sinatra, yep. I mean, Sinatra credits Bing with teaching him how to, you know, sing in a certain way. He had a very laid-back original style, and then of course his films were. I love all of his road pictures, you know, that he made at Paramount with Bob Hope. So, you know, he was pretty much.
What was your favorite? You know, you've done a lot of work over your years. What was your favorite piece to work on? Like Pet Sematary, Law and Order, some of your newer stuff. What was your favorite thing to work on?
You know, that question is really impossible to answer because, you know, each piece you do, you approach in the same way with, you know, the same kind of commitment as an actor. So it's like saying, what is your favorite child? You know, I can't answer that.
I personally like Pet Sematary because that was the first horror film I ever got to see alone in the dark.
Great. Yeah. Great.
Thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure. Is there anything else you would like to say in regards to Star Trek or something you're currently working on?
I would love everyone to tune into Showtime if you have it. I'm doing a show on Showtime right now called Ray Donovan. It's getting a lot of great reviews. It's Sunday nights at 10 on Showtime.
Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate
it.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
What a cool lady she was. And make sure you go check out her show, Ray Donovan, on Showtime. Check your local listings, and if you don't get Showtime, make sure you call your local cable provider and ask for it by name. You know, she was very nice, very approachable. And you know what? Great lady all her way around. You know, very knowledgeable in the Star Trek realms, very knowledgeable on other things. And, you know, she's very nice. Go check her out. You know, if you have a chance, I think her it's denisecrosby.net. Go check her out. And we'll definitely, you know, if we have a chance, we'll love to interview her again. Very nice lady. So let's get on to the next portion of the interview. We have three Ferengis. I got all three of them. I don't know how. I guess that's in the rules acquisition, one of these things over here. But they were, you know, I asked these, you know, wonderful people, you know, a lot of different questions. We'll start with Aaron Eisenberg. He played Nog, who is the first Ferengi in Starfleet. And we'll hear what he has to say. Go check it out.
Set up. I'm here with Aaron Eisenberg.
Yes, that is correct, yeah.
And you played Nog on the DS9 series.
That is correct.
What was your favorite part of being a Ferengi during that series?
You know, the favorite part for me being on the show was the character arc that they gave to me, that they wrote for me. It was a wonderful arc from the precocious kid. A good analogy is like the Huckleberry Finn to Jake as the Tom Sawyer, to a person that went after his dreams and did something very different than what his family or what his race, so to speak, would ask of him or would want him to do, and found his own path and went after it with everything he had, and didn't always succeed, but kept getting back up to try again, and is extremely successful now, even in the books, even after the show has moved on.
Well, let's talk about the books. What is he doing in the books? Because I don't read the books.
Well, I'm not 100% sure. I just had somebody come up today and said, you know what you're doing in the books? I go, no, but I know he's got a pretty good career going. So you just designed the new Deep Space Nine station.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I thought, wow, that's pretty awesome. Yeah.
How long did it take you to get into makeup each day? Was it a pain in the butt, or did you kind of enjoy it? Was it kind of like your meditation time to get into character?
Well, I don't know if I'd use it as a meditation time to get into character, but it took about an hour and a half, and really you just relax and chill out, and makeup artist does their job. The more you move, the more difficult it becomes. So you do your best to stay, you know, still and relaxed and just let her do what she's got to do. She did a great job. Camille was my makeup artist, so she was fantastic.
A big shout out to her. What would you say is your favorite rule of acquisition?
Oh, I don't remember the number, but the one that I always liked is the bigger the smile, the sharper the knife.
I think that was 139 or something like that.
Something like that.
My personal favorite one is 141, only fools pay retail.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Well, is there anything you're working on right now? Is there any projects? Are you currently acting, or are you doing anything else?
You know, I don't have any current projects acting-wise that are coming up yet. Hopefully something soon, which is what I always say. But I have my photography, I have my own company, I raise my boys, I coach soccer, and play World of Warcraft.
what character do you play on WoW?
Oh, well, I have my son here, and he's the big one, but I play, I have a lock, a mage, and a priest, all horde, all undead.
All undead. Well, thank you so much for your time, I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right, take care.
Right, yeah.
Great guy was he. He's real approachable. You know, all these guys were approachable. I mean, you know, we'll talk at the very end because, you know, I tried to interview a few other people and it didn't quite work out. But, you know, he's a very talented individual. Check out his work. I think it's Aaron Eisenberg, E-I-S-E-N-B-E-R-G. You know, Google search him. He's got a Facebook page, I imagine a Twitter account. Very smart, very intelligent guy. Check him out. You know, he's a good guy. I know I'm saying that a lot, but I've been talking all day to a lot of people. Trust me, it's like pulling teeth. So we'll talk to the Matts. I won't let myself to butcher his last name because it's very difficult to enunciate correctly, so I'll have him introduce himself, but and the fun thing is he does his voice at the end, so stick around for that because it's a really good thing, and he tells you how he does it and where it comes from. So here he is.
I'm here with...
Where are you from? What do you do?
I'm the Glenda Toolbox. I'm the Glenda Toolbox Show. I'm a radio personality here in Seattle. I also do a podcast.
Glenn
the Toolbox.
Oh, Glenn the Toolbox.
Yes.
Not Glenn the Tool.
No, Toolbox is a difference.
Quite a difference, yeah.
So I'm here with Matts. Can you pronounce your last name, please?
I studied, so I can, yes. Max Grudenczyk.
Grudenczyk.
Yeah.
Close enough, right?
Very close.
Close enough. And you played Nog on the DS9 series, right?
Close. I played Rom on Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Rom, brother of Quark, father of Nog, husband of Leeta, the Dabo girl.
And how long have you been doing acting in Hollywood?
Hollywood
or
acting?
Just in general?
Oh, I think I started acting in 19... I think the first thing I did was some in 1977, and probably the first movie I did was 1979, I think. So, yeah, that goes back that far, yeah.
You know, I was looking at your internet movie database, you know, profile. You did a part in Apollo 13, right?
I did. I worked 3 weeks. Ron Howard was so nice to me. I did 3 weeks on the set of Apollo 13 in the... in the control room, yeah.
As Fido.
I think I was Fido Gold, I want to say. vital goal. Didn't have much. I have a little. The thing that remained in the movie was a little scene with Ed Harris where he asks about the shallowing of the capsule coming into space. It's coming into a two. It has to come in somewhere between. God, I hope there's no NASA people out there listening.
No, don't worry about that. We got a bunch of geeks. That's all.
Somewhere between 3.5 and 7 degrees, it has to come in. If it comes in too steep, it burns up, and if it comes in too shallow, it bounces off. So, yeah, that was.
What was that? What would you say is your favorite thing to work on so far?
My favorite thing that I've worked on so far. Probably working on DS9, because when you are a recurring character on a series, it's kind of like a little family. You know, usually as a character actor, you go from show to show, and you never quite feel comfortable because you're a guest on the set. But DS9, even though I wasn't a series regular, I was made to feel like it was my show too, and that's a great feeling. It just gives you a lot more freedom to do things that you wouldn't, to ask for takes when you wouldn't otherwise ask for an extra take and things like that.
Are you currently working on any other projects right now, or are you kind of looking for work? What are you doing?
I live in Austria, and I have the only child I ever had is my 9.5-month-old daughter, and I'm trying to raise her and figure out how to be a dad.
Oh, that's great. What's her name?
Her name is Lena, L-E-N-A.
Lena, that's a beautiful name. What would you say is your favorite rule of acquisition? Do you remember any of them or not?
Oh, I know a lot of the rules of acquisition.
Without looking, of course. That's not good for Angie.
We have a song called The Rules of Acquisition song that we do in one of our show that we actually do for Creation. We just did it in Las Vegas. In fact, we sang The Rules of Acquisition song to Ira Bear. My favorite rule of, who is our executive producer, and who wrote the book, The Rules of Acquisition. My favorite rule of acquisition has got to be number 48. The bigger the smile, the sharper the knife.
Mine is 141. Only fools pay retail.
That's okay.
I'm a business guy too.
No, I like 140. I like 48.
Well, I thank you for your time, and good luck to you in Austria and everything else. And hopefully, we'll get to hear more of you sometime in the near future. Maybe on the new Star Trek series.
Is there a new Star Trek?
Well, I'm talking about the movies and everything. With JJ.
That would be. I hope JJ. I'm waiting for JJ to call right now.
will you show up as Rom or not?
That's totally up to what JJ. Right. Right.
Now, you do an impersonation of Rom. You have a different voice than he has on the show. How do you produce that that voice?
Well, I don't have the teeth with me at the moment. I don't think, but. The voice comes from the teeth.
Okay.
The teeth, you can see here, they stick. They take up a lot of space. They take up a lot of space. Yeah, and you really can't be understood unless you slow down and enunciate every consonant and speak where through the hollow in the back of your throat like that.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Now that's one cool dude. And, it was great of him doing the voice at the end. You know, it told you how to do his voice. And I'm trying to impersonate it because it's all in the teeth. So, we'll talk about that. You know, he's a really good guy. I know he's always a really good guy. But what is there to say about these people? I mean, they're really good people. I mean, they know their genre, they know their audience, they know everything. And, you know, they both talked about the rule of acquisition, and it's rule of acquisition number 48. The bigger the smile, the sharper the knife. You know, I told people, you know, what my favorite rule of acquisition, and I have a whole book in front of me, you know. And, one thing I like in business, if you're in the business, in which I am, Rule of Acquisition 194 states, it's always good business to know about new customers before they walk in your door. I think that's a word of advice everybody should be knowing about because it's anticipating customer service. So, with that being said, let's get to the head Ferengi himself, the owner of Quartz Bar. The most deviant man in Starfleet, in the Delta Alpha Quadrant. But don't let him take the credit for it. Here he is. Armin Shimerman. Take a listen.
I'm here with Armin Shimerman. Is that Armin Shimerman? Yeah, I imagine you get that a lot.
I don't.
You don't. you played Quark on the DS9 series, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. What was your favorite part playing the head Ferengi of DS9?
The head Ferengi in DS9. I consider myself part of the ensemble, so I never thought of myself as the head of anything. Uh-huh. Granted that I'm.
It's okay.
It's all right, Richard. And he never said to me. Yeah, for me too. But he never said to me to leave. But when I came out and saw that they turned Max away, then I felt I had to speak to somebody. Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Right. About DS9, yes, you know.
I never thought of myself as head of anything. I was part of the ensemble. I played a Ferengi. Other Avery played a human. Renee played a shapeshifter. Mm-hmm. I don't think we ever thought of ourselves as heads of any species. We thought of ourselves as actors playing roles that just happened to be those things.
Mm-hmm. What would you say is your favorite rule of acquisition?
I imagine the first one, which is once you have the money, never give it back.
That's one truth that I really like. Mine's 141, only fools pay retail.
Very good. I like that one too.
Are you currently working on any other projects right now, or any?
I help run a theater in Los Angeles called Antaeus. Mm-hmm. I just finished directing a play for them, The Crucible by Arthur Miller. Very successful. Mm-hmm. I am now about to reprise a role that I played in several games. It's the Ratchet and Clank mm-hmm. franchise. We're about to do a major motion picture, mm-hmm. and I will be reprising my role of the chief villain. Dr. Nefarious. So that's coming up soon. I imagine that within a short period of time, I'll be doing another play over at Antaeus.
Now, you've been known to do other characters. What was your favorite character to portray overall throughout your career?
I have no favorite, per se. Uh-huh. They're all my children. Uh-huh. Each of them has its difficulties and its rewards. Hard to say.
Are you more known for Quark or the principal from Buffy?
You have to ask the fans of those shows. Some people only know me from one, and other people only know me from the other. There's a game, for instance, Bioshock, where people who've never watched TV know me from Bioshock. Mm-hmm. I am a chameleon. I change shapes, and people recognize me for whatever thing they know me from.
Now, what was your favorite part of playing Quark on DS9? What was your favorite episode? Do you have a particular one that stands out?
Yes, my favorite episode was Far Beyond the Stars, not because I was out of makeup. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite episode because it was perfect science fiction. Mm-hmm. The story was about social events, which I think is what good science fiction mm-hmm. is about. I thought the writing was superb. I thought the directing was superb. The atmosphere is terrific. And I think what they did with that episode, as I said, was not just good Star Trek, which is mm-hmm. incredibly good, mm-hmm. but it was just great science fiction.
How long did it take you to get into makeup every day? And
usually 2 hours.
2 hours? Was it painful? Was it hard? Did you enjoy it? Did you meditate? What did you do in that 2 hours of time?
During the 2 hours of time, we would use it when guest stars or series regulars would come into the trailer to get made up. We would use it to rehearse the lines, to talk about the scene, mm-hmm. to work on our work using that time as creatively as we could. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, it wasn't hard after I got used to sitting there for 2 hours. It could be a little cold. The makeup could be a little cold in the early hours of the morning. But it was, we tried to use it creatively, so we did.
Mm-hmm. Now, they had the Star Trek experience in Las Vegas at the Hilton, and they named the bar Quartz Bar. Did you have a chance to go through there? Did you have a chance to experience that? What was your thoughts about that?
The first time I was there many times. Mm-hmm. I was a guest of the bars many, many times. I The first time I was there, I was amazed at how similar bits and pieces of it were to the set, mm-hmm. and there were things that were enormously familiar, and I thought, oh, they got that exactly right. Mm-hmm. The size of Quark's bar was far larger than anything we had mm-hmm. on the show, and the food was better. they always treated me as though I was the owner of the restaurant. Mm-hmm. The management of the restaurant was enormously kind and gracious mm-hmm. and generous. I don't think I ever paid for a drink or any food mm-hmm. in the restaurant in the years that it was there. They were very kind. I was there when they laid the cornerstone mm-hmm. for the exhibit, and they were kind enough to ask me to be there when they closed it. Mm-hmm. I made the first one. I didn't make the second. Mm-hmm.
I was there when they did the Borg Invasion 4D. I was a member of the media at the time. It was a great experience, great people working there. I'm trying to think of a good question. Do you have anything you'd like to say to fans on a particular level?
No, I'm just grateful for the fact that they've watched the show, that they appreciate the show. I was a fan before I was an actor on the mm-hmm. show. It was like winning the lottery for mm-hmm. me to be a member of Star Trek. I'm grateful for the friends that I've met because of the show, and I'm grateful to be part of what certainly is modern-day history, the mythology that Star Trek is, that I think will continue for umpteen years to come. We have been doing this now, the franchise has, for over 40 years, mm-hmm. and whatever it is that makes it worthy in people's minds across the world, I'm very honored and flattered to be part of that.
Now, when you referred to us a human, you used the word human. Where did that come from? Was that in the script? Was that something you developed?
It was just something I came up with.
Oh my holy God, how the hell did I get that clean of audio? I mean, I'm sorry about a few little bumps and bruises, but keep in mind, I do this on my iPhone now. You know, on the iTouch. It's got great audio. It ain't like the old days when I was working on a particular station where, you know, you hear me kind of weird and muffled like this, and I really can't get the words out of my mouth. I mean, these are good quality questions. And he's right on the first rule of acquisition. Once you get their money, you never give it back. I agree with him 100% on that. So those are my interviews. And I emphasize mine. Because the people I used to work for didn't tell me to go down there. Matter of fact, I contacted them and they told me no. But I went anyway as the Glenn the Toolbox Show. So you have the only way you can hear this. You can't hear this on normal radio. You can't hear this, you know. You can only download it. And these are good quality questions. Make sure you check each one of these gentlemen's websites out and these ladies out. You know, I'm sorry I couldn't get Shatner. But Shatner was impossible to get. You know, I was down there, and they told me to that Shatner only gave one interview and was only to a Seattle newspaper. The lady had to turn away everybody else. And me pulling moves, you know, I try. But it wasn't working. You know, I even tried to get an interview with LeVar Burton. And you know, he was kind enough to say, you know, I'm sorry, no interviews, I'm here for the fans. And I understand that, and that's great of him, you know, no problem. You know, and a few other people, they weren't interested at all. So if you, you know, hopefully next year I'll do Comic-Con, and you will get more interviews from great actors, maybe some people. I had one interview from a nice couple that I met there. And hopefully they downloaded this podcast. I'm sorry I couldn't put it in here because these things run a little long. But I will make sure I put you in the Nets podcast. I will definitely put you in the Nets podcast. So, what are we going to do now? I mean, we hit the top. We got interviews with celebrities. I mean, these are celebrities. I mean, Armand Sherman, he played on Buffy, you know, and Star Trek DS9 and a few other things. Denise Crosby, she's on a Showtime series now. I mean, these guys are pretty hot. And I guess we'll see where it goes from here. So I thank you for your download. Really appreciate it. And hopefully we'll do this again real soon. So in my podcast. If you want to get more information about the podcast, sorry, you can't get the archive anymore. I took them down the website. But there's always, you can go to toolboxcommunications.com and check us out that way. We're available on iTunes and proudly sponsored by Toolbox Communications, your media solution. From Podcast Central on lovely Fats Island, Washington, this is Glenn the Toolbox, signing off.